super powerful card and it's not broken, but it just leads to broken things.
We're in Matt's head all of a sudden. Someplace we never want to be, everybody.
Double blue, and then you tap four, and then you cast Divnizzet.
Through your prowess and dumb luck,
Utopia Sprawl is secretly one of the better cards in Modern right now.
Fever dreams, smallpox dream, coming down from a case of the bends.
Grab them by the scruff of their neck and tell them to be better human beings.
The pros don't always have it figured out. Internet doesn't always have it figured out. Your local gaming community doesn't always have it figured out.
It's time for every Phyrexian mana card to be banned in Modern. Oh, you brave soul. If you're just now joining this episode of Tryhards, you've already missed the best part. The pre and post show. If you're not a Patreon member, you might want to check it out this week. What a good stuff. Patreon.com/tryhards. Anytime you might think about it, we'd love to have you on board. I'm Sean Seacrease. He's Matt Hurley. And he's Brian Tibbetts. This week, Modern. The problems we see and the promise we see. We'll try to hook Matt up with technology before his appearance in a major tournament in which he'll have to play Modern. We'll also weigh in on what we think should be banned and unbanned in the format. It's all on this episode of Tryhards. Guys, what are you drinking? Brian, you had to make the late run to the freezer. What'd you pull out?
When people come over to the house and just leave beer, it's always a good thing and a bad thing. Sometimes they leave something and you're like, ugh, I'm never going to drink that. I hope somebody else picks that up. And sometimes they leave things like New Belgium Fat Tire, which is totally fine. Happy to have like four of them in the freezer. And so I'm on number two right now. So yeah, this is perfect.
Matt, what do you got in the glass?
I've just got some Old Forester bourbon. I'm just having a small glass because I'm going to have a very, very long day tomorrow.
I took a page from Brian's book and I brought two different beers to the show tonight. The Great Lakes Brewing Company Lake Erie Monster, the Imperial India Pale Ale. This is quite delicious. It's extra super hoppy. So if you like that, grab one. It's cooled off quite a bit here. And when it cools off, I really like more aggressive beers. And the other one, I got handed this at my checkout. It's just a single bottle. Brian, I know you like the Dark Horse line of stuff. The Scotty Karate Scotch Ale. So this is
that is really good.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's the backup beer when we get to the bottom of this glass here this evening in Command Central. So it could be a very interesting episode of Tryhards. Guys, what Magic did you play this week? My schedule really picked up. I'll be honest, I played zero Magic this week. Matt, what about you?
I ran through one league with Enduring Ideal, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But it didn't go well, but I do think it's on the cusp. I mean, these were all misplays on my part. I think I went 3-2 or 2-3, but every single one I lost was just the misplays where I just misidentified cards or misnamed cards with like Nevermore cards like that.
Well, we'll see if we can't help Matt with his quest to get a little bit better at Modern coming up later in the show. Brian, did you get to play any Magic this week?
I did not. I had some hopes to even just try to get together with some of the guys here and do some tiny leaders, which is still a thing probably in Galesburg only. But that didn't work out. I don't think any of it fired. So guys have been busy with the PPTQs that they've been going to on the weekends and just too much family stuff going on, unfortunately, for Saturday and Sundays for me to get away. But we'll see.
I feel like Tiny Leaders is like the cave painting of Magic that we'll find somewhere that it's proof that it did exist at one time and in one moment. And it's not just myth.
That's very true.
Sean, I think you mean Brawl. I think Brawl is going to end up as the cave painting. Tiny Leaders is still going to be one of those things I use to teach people like how to play Commander before they have 100 cards. I think it still serves a purpose. Brawl, I have no idea where that's
going. You don't have to teach people to play Commander. You teach them to play Magic, and then you slow the game down to an almost insurmountable incremental crawl and then just pass each other's graveyards around each turn so everybody can thumb through it. That's how you play Commander.
I would rather play Tiny Leaders than Commander, personally. It's just a lot less to think about, and you can actually finish a game before I can finish like a six-pack of beer.
These are all true.
Upsides or downsides of formats be what they are. Grab a format you like and go after it, even if it's one that we're not that high on here on Tryhards. What we are high on, giving you our stuff. It's another opportunity to do that. If you're part of the Patreon, mentioned it at the top of the show, a $5 supporter each month or more, Well, you're in for this week's Patreon raffle. A $5 Patreon level gets you one entry, and every level above that gets you an extra entry. So, Matt, we have 48 eligibles this week for one of our signed TryHards exclusive playmats. We signed these while we were at GP Minneapolis, and we've been slowly trickling them out. Matt has the list. I have the TryHard Patreon randomizer. I'm going to hit random, and 41.
A new patron, Eric Odell, EOD, brand new just from last month.
The luck of the newbie. His very first eligible Patreon raffle, and he takes it down. Eric, we thank you at the time for your patronage, and thank you again, and congratulations. You can now rescind your patron money, and you've made out like a bandit. That's what every Magic player wants. He just got EV off of his Patreon donation.
Max EV.
Max EV. Congratulations, Eric. We'll get that in the mail just as soon as we can. Guys, just one tournament this weekend. GP Detroit. It was Team Unified Modern. 532 teams showed up, just under 1,600 people, and the team of Corson, Perez, and Lopez on Humans, Greentron, and Jeskai Control were able to knock off the pro team of PVDDR, Matt Nass, and Sam Pardee. PVDDR on Bant Spirits, Nass not on KCI. He was on Hardened Scales. Maybe that's a sign that this has been accepted into the format. Nass is playing Hardened Scales. And Pardee was on Hollow One. I thought both teams had excellent lineups for the weekend. If you're taking your team to an event like this, Team Unified Modern, you can't share cards in a format, and the restrictions are such that it doesn't breed creativity. The card pool is large enough that you still have these powerful, complete decks at your disposal. And because of that, and the team format, teams are less likely to take risks, so you don't see new technology broken in these situations. We knew that going in, though, Matt. So you're in charge of Matt's team that's playing Team Unified Modern. You get to pick all three decks for your team. What decks do you pick to win an event like this?
I know I'm not picking Humans. I think it's got a miserable mirror match. One is definitely going to be KCI. Either KCI or Affinity. That's one of the two. I think you could actually probably play both of them outside of maybe like the Darksteel Citadels, I think is what's overlapping there. But KCI Affinity for sure is high on the list. And then I also really like Tron as well. That third deck, I would probably go a little bit rogue maybe. When I say rogue, maybe like blue-white control. When I'm playing my Tron, I would probably go, you know, mono green Tron or whatever my other two decks weren't playing, but most likely mono green Tron. But I think that blue eye control Tron and KCI are very good because the control player can go to a long game, but the other two decks can win fairly quickly and they can sculpt their game plan accordingly.
I like where you're going with a lot of that. When I was thinking of my list, I wanted two things. One, I wanted the potential for free wins. And on top of that, I wanted some decks that had some playability to them. So if you don't get that draw that gives you a free win, you still have some playability in that deck that lets you negotiate through some powerful possible turns. My lineup, Greentron, Hollow One or Dredgevine, depending on what that player thinks is better. To me, they occupy the same space. And Boggles. There's just, in my mind, such a chance that whoever you sit across from is not going to have the ability to interact correctly in those matches, that they're going to lead to a lot of free wins. And I really considered Burn in that lineup too. Brian, what would your lineup look like and what do you price as important? Is it free wins? Is it playability? Is it the ability to play well against whatever you're sitting across from?
I think it's playability. I would not go KCI because I think in some ways you have to find somebody who knows KCI in and out. But Hurley, if you can find that player who is very, very adept with the deck, I definitely think that that's a choice to go. My three are, I'm surprised that this one has not been mentioned before, is Death Shadow. I think that deck is just very resilient. It gets out very, very fast, and it forces the other player on their back foot a lot, and I think that's definitely something I would want to look at. The other one, Sean, you mentioned is Boggles. Boggles is just a really, really tough matchup. I've seen it do so well kind of in these unified tournaments because it doesn't really take any cards away from maybe some of the tier one decks in an open or a classic. But in this unified thing, I think you're going to have kind of just a dilution of certain of the powerful cards, and Boggles can just run over those. And the third one, I think, which would be really, really good in these matchups, because I think it just has game against a lot of things, is Eldrazi Taxes. The Thalias, the taxing effect, the Eldrazi Displacers. I think that's a really, really strong deck, and being able to kind of outclass your opponent's creatures with the Eldrazi suite is just really, really strong.
Well, you mentioned Boggles, and Boggles' natural predator is actually being switched out of the format in favor of a different version, and that's Liliana of the Veil. We're seeing decks drop her left and right for Liliana the Last Hope, and that was really the answer that a lot of people had to Boggles, and she seems to be at low tide, which means, in my mind, Boggles is a really good choice right now. We'll see where this goes in the future, as we're not going to have another modern team unified in a while, but the decks that were picked, I think, are really commentary on the metagame and how you can attack it. So if you have to play modern soon, you could do a lot worse than looking at the decks that went either undefeated on day one or were part of that top four in Detroit over the weekend. That was the only tournament this weekend. This week, though, we got two GPs and an SCG. Stockholm and Hong Kong are the GPs. Both are modern. And Star City Games is going to be in Syracuse, also modern for the weekend. With that being said, guys, we talked a little bit about this, getting ready for the show. We know the next banned and restricted announcement comes down on October 1st. And frankly, all three of us, if we rewind the tape, were shocked that there was no addition to the banned and restricted list in Modern the last time one was issued. So I ask you, ahead of our challenge to help brew a modern deck for Matt for the Star City Games Invitational he'll be playing at soon, what are your thoughts on what we may see on October 1st on the next banned and restricted announcement? You're the sovereign for a day, Matthew. What do you ban? What do you unban in the format of Modern?
The card, we haven't mentioned it yet in the show, but the new card that was released was Assassin's Trophy, coming in the new Ravnica sets. Destroy target permanent opponent controls, and that permanent's owners gets to search for a basic land and put onto the battlefield untapped. Reason I mention this is because I fully think that completely alters some of the banned restricted cards. One of the cards I think is super safe to come off is Stoneforge Mystic. Even with Batterskull now, I don't think that's a huge issue. One of the cards I think should go on, I still think Mox Opal, you know, I kind of agree with you guys, kind of on the cusp there, but I really think that's like KCI or something like that. Or I don't know. I really think Mox Opal is kind of a super powerful card. It's not broken, but it just leads to broken things. The third card I would pick to get banned, sounds weird, but Ancient Ziggurat. I would like Ancient Ziggurat or the new one, because essentially humans can play five color humans without any type of actual colored land in it. You know, basically, I think it's 16 copies now of just tap for any color you want between Cavern of Souls, Ancient Ziggurat, and there's two other ones I'm failing to think of, but I think that might be a bit powerful.
All right. Matt says it's safe to let Stoneforge Mystic off the chain. Brian, what's your list look like?
I've got one out and one in, and I totally agree with Matt. I think Stoneforge Mystic should definitely come off the banned list. I think if we are safe to have Bloodbraid Elf, we're now safe to have Jace the Mind Sculptor. Does Stoneforge Mystic kind of warp the format a little bit too much? No, I don't think so. I don't think Stoneforge Mystic is too punishing of a card. There's so many fast things to do in Modern right now, and I think Stoneforge is very powerful, of course. However, it does take a little bit of time to set up. So that's one I would love to see them try. And I think the community at this stage would probably be like, okay, we realize that it didn't work, if that was the case. I think they could give Wizards a pass on that, but to try to make it work, just because I think Stoneforge holds such high esteem in a lot of people's eyes. I struggled with Mox Opal. I really did. I thought that was one I would kind of snap ban maybe 3 weeks ago. But the more I think about it, you really have to be all in on an artifact plan to play that card. Otherwise, it just doesn't do anything. It just comes down and you can sack it to Kark Clan Ironworks, you know, if you don't have two other artifacts in play. I would leave Opal in just as kind of maybe a foil to the Stoneforge Mystic decks, just to give a little bit more variety. The one card I definitely would ban is Ancient Stirrings. I think Ancient Stirrings is too busted. We've talked about this before on the show. Blue is the color of card filtering and card advantage, and to give that one green to look at five cards and to filter through has just made Mono Green Tron the deck it is today. It's made Kark Clan Ironworks the deck it is today. I think that card is just a little bit too powerful for what it does in the metagame, and so I would love to see that go.
Yeah, I'm on the same page you are with that, Brian. My bans are multifold, but they're really going to come down to two categories. One is Ancient Stirrings, and I think by banning Ancient Stirrings, you don't have to ban KCI, and you don't have to look at anything else in Tron, because by making the decks less redundant, you're actually adding in some dangerous value of having poor draws or a couple three cards come off the top that you didn't want, and you can't fix it for that one green. So I'm okay with not banning anything else out of KCI if we go ahead and take Ancient Stirrings out of the format. The other, and this may be a little bit more controversial, but I've said it before on the cast and I'm going to stand by it. I think time has proven now Phyrexian mana is too good. It's time for every Phyrexian mana card to be banned in Modern.
You know what? I would get on board with that. I really would. It would hurt, but I think you're absolutely right. Phyrexian mana is too cheap. Surgical Extraction is obviously the big card right there that would people would just be like, oh my god, you know, graveyards are going to run wild. Well, Leyline of the Void price would just shoot up, and you know, Relic and everything else. There's a lot of cards that can take care of graveyards. So I'm not thinking that we don't have ways to deal with that. But I agree with you. Phyrexian mana was a pretty broken mechanic. And so, well, not mechanic, really, just casting cost, alternate casting cost. But I think you're onto something there, Sean. I wonder, though, Hurley, would Wizards ever do that? Do you think they would just kind of ban cards of a certain ilk, like all Phyrexian mana cards in a format are banned? Or do you think that's just taking too many out of the format?
I think they would ban, or they would do a kind of a mass banning like that. I do agree with you, Sean. I think they should just kind of take the hammer and do all of them at once. I mean, if you're going to do onesies, twosies, I actually don't think that Surgical would be the big one. I think Dismember would be the big one, because then your colorless decks would lose their quote-unquote removal. I do think that would happen. The only reason I didn't include Ancient Stirrings on mine was really because I don't know how this new card's going to warp the format or change the formats. It may make the Ancient Stirrings just a bad card. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, I mean, I do think that Phyrexian mana is safe to just say, all right, guys, this was a mistake. We tried. Peace out.
Matt, I agree with you. I hadn't seen Assassin's Trophy revealed when I made my list for the show this week, so you may be onto something there that it's going to be too good. As for my unbans, Stoneforge Mystic, now with the power level we see in Modern, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I don't even think you need to ban Batterskull anymore. I think it's fine. Every color has a way to deal with it. And I think it's safe to unban Jace the Mind Sculptor, too. I mean, based on the play that we've seen of him, I think he's still banned, right? Nobody's really rolled him out.
Wait a minute, what's he going with that?
Any kind of success.
It seems interesting that if you would have told people, how long has Jace now been off the ban list? Let's call it a good 6 months to 8 months. And dear listeners, please correct us if we have this horribly wrong. I think if you would have said, let's say a year ago, Jace the Mind Sculptor, unbanned in Modern, and then you say, okay, flash forward, what does the metagame look like? I think people would expect so many more copies of Jace the Mind Sculptor in top eight decks at SCG Opens, at Grand Prix, than what we're seeing. We're not seeing them. We're not seeing any of Jace the Mind Sculptor, except for a very, very few decks when blue-white control. But Teferi is the planeswalker of choice. I don't think there's any doubt about that right now in those control decks. So it just goes to show how healthy Modern is. Yes, Hurley, I'm going off on that tangent again, because I do think Jace the Mind Sculptor is such a powerful Magic card, but is held in check by so many of the fast decks that Modern offers right now.
What a big statement that a different control planeswalker is preferable in a format where the Mind Sculptor is legal. We've had these arguments before, and we can have them again at some future point. And it's about context. It's about cards that are being played versus possible other cards that are played. But it's definitely interesting to watch. That's what we're looking for and looking at for the next B&R announcement coming up on October 1st. And we're taking our thoughts on what should be banned and unbanned into account as we take on a little bit different project this week. This is going to actually deviate into Byhards territory. If you've not caught an episode of Byhards, usually when one of the tryhards can't make it for a week, which has been rare, the two remaining tryhards get together for a quick duo show, and the rules of engagement are much less formal. Let's just call it what it is. We're just swilling beer from the bottle. No pants are worn.
I'm screwing stuff up and then yelling at Sean to edit it out. And pretty, he tells and me to
realizing
kiss my own
butt. That Sean's the one missing and it's not going to be edited out. So sometimes Byhards gets a little bit weird, and it's its own format. And if you haven't checked it out, please do so, because you're going to find something entirely different from what we do here on Tryhards from week to week. So this next segment may feel a little bit more Byhard-ish if you're familiar with it. Matt gave Brian and I a unique challenge. Matt's going to be playing in the Star City Games Invitational coming up in a couple of months. Matt, you through your prowess and dumb luck, you were able to get yourself into an Invitational, and we actually wish you very well when you do it. But Matt's going to have to play Modern as part of that. So he asked us to help him brew a deck for Modern, or at least select one. When you try to help someone brew a deck, there are so many things to take into account. What's good, what's bad. That person's play style. And Matt has a specific play style. One, he doesn't like to play Tier 0 or Tier 1 decks. He prefers to attack a format from an angle. Two, he loves to play with a full board. Matt needs a double-wide playmat because he likes to put so many things onto the battlefield. He also prefers strategies that don't necessarily need to get into the red zone to win. So when we're brewing, we're not brewing necessarily for myself or for Brian. We're brewing for Matt specifically. This is a little bit of a unique thought process because you're not trying to create something you would play. You're trying to create something that someone else would play and take into account their play style. Now, Brian, Matt has been emailing and texting us decks that he's looking at, things that I think were fever dreams, things that he actually saw that were played in leagues and by other real human Magic players. So what did you think when Matt asked us to do this for him? And what did you do with this thought process from last week's show when we announced this up until now? And what are you suggesting for Matt going into Modern?
First of all, you're absolutely right. Fever dreams, smallpox dream, coming down from a case of the bends after scuba diving, whatever it was. Some of the decks that Matt offers up are just a little head-scratching, but you got to love them because they always are coming at it from an interesting angle. Hurley, I kind of wish I had more time to devote to this because, A, getting inside your brain takes a little bit of time, and it's scary. So I wasn't able to kind of go down that path, unfortunately. What I did, though, I kind of brewed up decks that I thought were a little off-kilter, not something that we have seen played for a while or not something that I think people would expect, and maybe say in the hands of a accomplished player who qualified for the SCG Invitational, you could do well with this. So I have two decks for your consideration this evening, one of which has seen play before but has fallen out of favor, and I'm kind of scratching my head as to why, because I still think it's a very powerful deck. So I'm going to lead with this one. High finish in the Pro Tour and other things. This is the blue-red Thing in the Ice deck. And the blue-red Thing in the Ice deck, I think, is pretty well positioned right now in the metagame. I think you can really kind of get people to commit to the board with their humans decks, with a lot of different things, especially like the Mardu Pyromancer's deck, even KCI if they have the Scrap Trawler out. And Thing in the Ice is just a house because of all the instants that this deck runs. So you've got four Thing in the Ice, four Snapcaster Mage. Those are your creatures right there. And then you're basically running 32 spells for Lightning Bolt, Op, Serum Vision, Spell Snare, Abrade, Logic Knot, Remand, Electrolyze, Cryptic. There's three Blood Moons in the deck, which I think are really, really good, just main against a lot of things in Modern right now. And then it's kind of all backed up with three Jace the Mind Sculptor. I think the Jace the Mind Sculptor, Cryptic Command, those are the really high casting cost ones. So I think you can kind of switch that to three Cryptics, two Jace, whatever you want to do. You've got a Desolate Lighthouse in there to kind of draw you some cards. To be able to kind of take counters off the Thing in the Ice, swing in for seven, your opponent kind of plays their board, you smash another Thing in the Ice down, play a bunch of instants, and, you know, kind of return all their creatures to their hand. I think that's a strategy that's kind of overlooked. So I'll be curious to see what you think about that. The other one that I brewed up just especially for you, and I'm going to send you this deck list. I'm calling this Hurley's Zealous Mentor deck. It's a straight black-white deck that is taking advantage of one of my favorite cards of all time, Monastery Mentor. This is running four Dark Confidant, three Tide Hollow Scullers, which I know is a favorite card of yours, and three Monastery Mentors as the creatures. We are backed up by all kinds of disruption in the forms of four Inquisition of Kozilek, two Thoughtseize, and then the namesake, three Zealous Persecutions. You're getting the Prowess trigger and the plus one, of course, on that. And this is a Planeswalker heavy deck. One Lily of the Veil, two Liliana Last Hope, two Gideon Ally of Zendikar, and one Soren Solemn Visitor. If I could find another slot to put a second Soren Solemn Visitor in this deck, I would just absolutely love to do it. A little bit of spice, because I know that's what you like, Hurley. One Willing in there. The Willing is the card that gives all your creatures Death Touch and Lifelink until end of turn. So after you've created your army of Spirit Rogues out of the one Bitter Blossom in the deck, or out of your Lingering Souls tokens, or just out of your Monastery Mentor tokens, I think you can just go to town with this deck. I would be kind of excited to play this at maybe an FNM, but you're going to play it at the SCG Invitation.
I'll tell you the Thing in the Ice deck. I actually don't think it's very good against humans. I don't think it's very good against Tron either. Plus, I think the graveyard decks are kind of tough for it because it doesn't have hard removal. Did look at a version of it, and I just think Mardu Pyromancer is just better, and Mardu Pyromancer kind of does the same thing almost. Not as quickly, but it does kind of do the same thing.
No, that's fair. And, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
And so I think metagame-wise, I just think it's been pushed out because of that reason, because I think humans, anything with Cavern of Souls is a little tough for it, and then anything that doesn't have like hard removal, because since most of it's removal, damage-based removal, you know, the humans kind of grow outside of damage-based removal if you're not careful. Yeah, I think that one, I kind of chopped that one off my list. The other one, the tokens, I actually did find a semi-popular Abzan tokens list, very similar to what you were describing. But I think especially now with this Assassin's card, I don't think that's a bad deck, because I think decks going wide now are going to be better than decks that are just going big. I'm very interested in it, especially since now you can have removal for your problematic cards, such as, you know, I don't know. I mean, like whatever, you know, whatever's over that Abrupt Decay couldn't hit before, you'll have removal out of like an Abzan. But I think splashing for the green is worth it. You do get better removal through, you know, what would have been Abrupt Decay, but now it's Trophy, you know, Assassin's Trophy. The other cards you kind of look at is they're actually also playing the 6-mana Vraska, and then they're playing a green-white Ajani, the 4-drop green-white Ajani, if I remember correctly. I do like that idea. I like the build of that. I like the idea of it. I just need to see kind of how everything shapes out, especially with Zealous Persecution. I think Zealous Persecution is going to be a hell of a card moving forward, and I think that it's something we need to pay attention to, but Abzan tokens or black-white tokens, if that's where I want to go, is absolutely on my short list of cards that I'm very interested in. Specifically, if they get to a point where they hit or where they unban Stoneforge, I think that's the deck you want it in, to be honest. I think you want it in like a token deck where you can pop out your Batter Skulls, your tokens are getting pumped, or, you know, whatever the case may be. I think that being able to do that versus having the more like Esper Stoneblade like you do in Legacy, I don't think that would work as well in within Modern. But yeah, no, I like both those. It's just, I think the first one is just not there, and I think the second one has some legs somewhere.
Letting us throw the spaghetti at the wall, and Matt gets to be the arbiter of what's good and not good.
I mean, Brian, do you agree, disagree? Like, what's
your take on the blue-red thing in the ice deck? That is definitely a deck that I think is pretty resilient because it can kind of swing either way. And I think you're probably right. I think the Aether Vial is the one that really puts that deck over the top. The Humans deck is just so resilient to so many things. Reflector Mage is such a strong card against something like Thing in the Ice that if that comes down to return Thing in the Ice to your hand, it's really tough to, you know, lock in another win condition with that deck and just trying to, you know, instant them out or something, even though there is like a Worm Coil engine I was thinking of sideboard. So that is definitely, with the Rise of Humans, I could see where that deck would kind of fall prey. The other one is so grindy, the black-white tokens deck, I feel like it's so grindy. You can have those hands that get out in the front and then just kind of step on your opponent's neck a la Mardu Pyromancer and then just kind of, you know, never let up. There's other times when it can kind of, you know, falter a little bit, stumble out of the gates, and it's hard to catch up when you're only putting 1/1s and 2/2s on the battlefields. But yet, you know, it's going to buy you a lot of time. So it would take some playtesting for both of them for sure.
Brian, you only made one mistake, and that's that you brewed a deck for you. You're the most patient player that I know. Matt is the polar opposite. He could never play blue-red Thing in the Ice. He's just not patient enough as a player to do that. You brewed a deck for you, and you didn't brew a deck for Matt.
Yeah, I'd love to play either of these decks, to be honest with you. So I know. Maybe I did align myself a little bit.
Now it's my turn. Take a drink. We're going deep.
Matt, strapping everybody.
I'm gonna take a drink right now.
These have to be modern legal cards, Sean.
We're still working on the Eerie Lake Monster. These are all modern legal cards, Matt. I did one thing. I kept in mind who I was brewing for. If you go into the Wayback Machine of Tryhards, you will find an episode where we rank the Planeswalkers. And Matt came up with his number one most powerful Planeswalker of all time, Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas. This card is modern legal because I know you have time to test things. I didn't come up with a complete deck list. I came up with a shell, an idea. And while these are the major pieces, you can sort of spackle in the cracks as you will and test and sort of move things around. So I'm calling this Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas, Legendary Thopter Sword. This is your life. This is your deck. So Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas, a 2 or a 3 of. Mox Amber as a 4 of. Thopter Foundry, Sword of the Meek. Those are your backbone cards.
All right.
Obviously, what we want to do here is we want to have the potential for a turn 3 Tezzeret. Tetsuko Umezawa from Dominaria, the uncommon 1 in a blue, 1/3, legendary creature.
I know what it does because it's been in and out of some of my decks multiple times.
He makes anything you have with 1 toughness or 1 power unblockable. Plays very well with Thopter Foundry, Sword of the Meek, and with Mox Amber. You also have Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Helps you speed through your deck, plays very well with Mox Amber. Those are your ways to get a turn 3 Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas. Then you have your value plays. Psy Master Thopterist, probably a 3 of in the deck. And the one that I like is a 1 of that gives you a backdoor win condition other than Tezzeret. 1 Bantu the Glorified. Because it has menace, it's indestructible, and it has the ability to drain your opponent when you sacrifice something. Now, Psy Master Thopterist lets you sacrifice extra artifacts to draw cards. So you have plenty of extra Thopter tokens running around off of Psy Master Thopterist to sacrifice to Bantu, which when you sacrifice something to Bantu, not only drains and gains, but gives your 4/6 menace the ability to attack, and oh yeah, it's indestructible as well. Now you can even go further. That's just a blue-black shell at that point. If you want to stretch out into an Esper shell, suddenly you get things like Baral, Combal, Kira, Masako the Humorless, all of your tapped creatures still able to block, which seems pretty good when you're making a bunch of creatures with Thopter Sword. Machaeus the Lunark, you can put extra counters on your creatures, and he also gives you another early drop legendary, Sig River Cutthroat, the 1/3 that's a 2-drop legendary, so it interacts well with Mox Amber, and if you deal 3 damage to your opponent, you draw an extra card. Drawing extra cards is always good. You have the potential for either Thalia, the 2-drop or the 3-drop, and even Vendilion Click. Just imagine that shell. I know you love playing things that flood the board. I know you love Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas. I think that the ability to leverage Mox Amber by playing early Tezzerets, as well as having the ability to use Tezzeret's not only ability to search for your combo, Thopter Sword, but also the ability to combo out with your Thopter Sword and then minus Tezzeret for a non-in-the-red-zone win gives you a lot of flexibility. It's not a complete list. It's a shell of an idea, but when I think Matt Hurley, these are the cards I think about in Modern.
I agree with you on most of that. One of the deck lists I sent over to you, Sean, was, I don't know if you saw it, the Grinding Station combo deck.
I tried not to look at it. It's just, oh, sorry.
So, Saffron Olive did the Grinding Shell deck that I was looking at, a very similar one. Bantu's one I didn't even think about in that deck, and I tried to bring in Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas in and out, and I just couldn't find a spot for him. But I love, the Thopter Sword combos, that style. He actually went 5-0 with that version of the deck. It doesn't just die to Graveyard Hate, but any Graveyard Hate or any Stony Silences suck.
But see, I think that's where Psy Master Thopteris comes in. So you can continually play things out. It gives you a back door to the Graveyard Hate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I want to start mixing in Psy. I've been playing around with the deck list a little bit. I didn't even think about Bantu. And then the Tezzeret's been in and out as well. Just because, he's extremely powerful, but it's whether I want to go for the 2-turn kill or the combo kill is kind of where those decks are. You guys were laughing at me, and I don't know if we recorded this, but you guys are laughing at me because I actually said, hey, what about Beastmaster Ascension? That was one that I brought up last week, and you chuckled quite a bit about it because you're like, yeah, let's put it in the green. Let's put this in our 3-color deck.
Well, let's be honest. So we did not chuckle. We hearty guffawed.
Yeah, you did. You did. I do. That deck is probably number 2, number 3 on my list of the Grinding Station combo. Dr. Sword combo, Tezzeret, hell, even Bantu, that's actually a really good one. Think that I'm going to start tuning that, but I'm definitely liking where your head's at there, Sean, because I also put in, as I mentioned, Tetsuko or Tetsuo as well. Hell, I even tried a 4-color Doran shell with Tetsuo at one point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just attacking for, yeah, right? Tech in unblockable for 5 or whatever the hell.
We're overthinking it. Just play Doran's Treehouse. I mean, you're good. Tower Assault.
But no, I like
Doran.
Yeah, I like all of those. And I definitely, as it stands right now, Thopter Sword is on the short list because I really think that it's resilient to hate. You just have to kind of move up the number of copies, but it's resilient to hate. And if you have multiple ways to make 1/1s, which this deck does, then short of exiling your graveyard, it doesn't really do anything. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of it, and I like where your head's at. And actually, now you got me brewing a little bit in my head with the Bantu as well.
We're not going to make Matt reveal all of his secrets that he's thinking about leading up to the SCG Invitational that he's playing in. But in a future episode, I'm sure he'll share where he's going with this. Thank you for letting us indulge ourselves in some Byhard style brewing here on this episode of Tryhards.
My final question there would be, out of all the deck lists I sent you to, what would be the one that pops up that you guys looked through? I mean,
didn't look at many because I wanted to try and do this holistically from the ground up. So I opened them, I looked at them, but I wanted to go about this in kind of a more organic way to make a suggestion.
Okay. Yeah. Brian, what about you?
I really like the Grinding Station deck just as a way to approach things. I mean, it's kind of what attacking the format from a different angle than what, most of the metagame decks are doing, I think is interesting. That Grinding Station kind of combo seems like there's something there. It would need to be tested and tuned, obviously, before you went to the Invitational. But I think that that's really, really fun, and I'm glad you've got that kind of, you know, in front of you.
Should be fun to see where Matt goes with this leading up to the Invitational. That does lead us up to this week's In the Elevator. It's a financial joyride, up or down. Well, I guess joy would only be indicative of your investment going up. There are other things of your investment sinking into oblivion. Don't worry, don't worry. Matt's here to snare it all. Matt, what do you got in the elevator this week?
I'm a big fan right now of Foil Spell Snare from Battle Bond. With the release of Assassin's Trophy, combo and control decks, I think, gained a lot. And your green-black decks are going to keep all the fair decks in check, I believe. Spell Snare just shot up in value. Right now, you can get the foils for under $6. I think they're going to slowly creep up. And then there's going to be a tournament this fall in the next 3 months that people are just running 2, 3, 4 copies of Spell Snare. Pick up those foil copies under $5 or under $6 if you can.
Foil Spell Snare. This week's In the Elevator here on Tryhards. That brings us up to this week's 3 Minutes to Brew. Oh, it was such a nice day today. Brian, why is it getting so cloudy?
Because we're in Matt's head all of a sudden. Someplace we never want to be, everybody.
Is this the Tryhards version of Pickle Rick?
Yes.
This is exactly right. One of the decks that Matt, who just emails us randomly. Did you all know that Hurley qualified for the Star City Games Invitational?
What?
So, in addition to having to endure that all the time, we have to look at deck lists that come straight out of Hurley's hot brown whiskey addled brain sometimes. Yet there is something in this next deck list that he sent over that I have to admit, as much as it pains my soul, that this card that it's centered around is actually really, really cool. It did make my work this week on 3 Minutes to Brew pretty easy. Sorcery, Death Cloud, X and 3 black. Each player loses X life, then discards X cards from his or her hand, then sacrifices X creatures, then sacrifices X lands. Hurley, I'm going to start with you because this was out of your soul here. How do you brew with this card to kind of break parity since it's, you know, one of those both players have to do?
Been eyeballing this deck for many months, I would say. About a month and a half ago, Corbin Hostler on TCG Player did an article on it for his Mighty Modern series. There's a few changes in there that just kind of said, huh. He explained it really, really well in that video. You have to make your opponent's losses more than your losses. The other thing this card does is it doesn't hit planeswalkers. This particular version that he made was running 11 planeswalkers. You also are leaning upon Utopia Sprawl. I think Utopia Sprawl is secretly one of the better cards in Modern right now. The reason it leans on that is because you're placing that onto a forest, and then when you're sacrificing lands, you're leaving that Utopia Sprawl up. So you're maintaining 2, sometimes 4 mana with those 2 lands, whereas your opponent is getting 2 mana, maybe 1 or 2 mana. This also kind of plays catch up with Thragtusk. So I think you need to build these decks to be able to sacrifice land or sacrifice creatures and lands that you don't really care about or have some value when they come in and out of the battlefield. So Thragtusk is the natural one. You also need some incidental life gain, and then you need to be focused around planeswalkers as well.
Sean, I'm going to pass the question to you. If you're going to blow up the world, how do you blow up the world in your favor?
Well, this is not actually a card called Death Cloud. This is called Smallpox on Steroids. So we need to have a pox sensibility. What I mean by that is you have to have things that are resilient to the qualifiers on the card. Each player loses X life, discards X cards, and sacrifices X creatures, then sacrifices X lands. This screams Mana Rocks to me. This is the classic version of Death Cloud, which is you play your talismans in Modern, you play whatever Mana Rocks you want, but I think that this ends up being either a blue-black or a bug build, because to go back to what we were talking about earlier, if you're playing a lot of Mana Rocks, suddenly Tezzeret, Agent of Bolas, looks fantastic. He searches up more, he can deal damage based on those Mana Rocks, he can turn them into threats. And when you have the mana advantage and the card selection advantage, I think you are very advantaged in this situation. And by playing black, You can even, and Deathcloud, let's face it, this is a 5-mana spell. You're going to need Fatal Push. You're going to need Thought Seize. You're going to need these other tools to get you to a point to leverage Deathcloud. So you need the opportunity to turn your resources into threats. So keep that in mind when you play this card, which is, I love it, a fantastic angle to bring to a format.
I'm very intrigued by this card, Hurley, and I'm glad you kind of threw a deck out there that does this, because what it does, this card breaks parity. You have to have the resources, as Sean was saying, as you were saying, that does this. So if you can lean on your Planeswalkers, and if you're already running triple black for this, obviously Liliana of the Last Hope, Liliana of the Veil are very, very strong cards. Sean, I love where you're going with Agent of Bolas. I also love maybe one of our try-hard favorite Planeswalkers, Ashiok, in a build like this with like a blue-black or a blue-black-green. I think if you get Planeswalker on your side of the table and you can force your opponent to just sacrifice all of their creatures on their side, the game is pretty much locked up. If an active Ashiok is in play after a Deathcloud resolved, I don't see how anybody comes back from that. So, fascinating card, high risk, high reward, but overall, seems really, really fun to try to brew with.
This week's 3 Minutes to Brew, Deathcloud, here on Tryhards. Guys, what'd you do to get better at Magic this week? I'm going to let you two go first, because I'm going to kind of blow up the world while maintaining the Tryhards focus on what we like to do for our community. So, Matt, what'd you do to get better at Magic this week?
So I was lucky enough to be able to kind of brew some of this or some of these decks, and I think that's really going deep in the well. I also got some emails from some listeners and from some locals, some text messages as well, on some suggested decks. So I really, really appreciate that. I got to give a shout out to Wolfmeyer. He actually sent me his Skred Dragons deck, and now I'm trying to figure out how to make it blue-red so I can put the new Niv-Mizzet in there, but I don't know if that's going to work. It's really made me look at the format and figure out, okay, what is this good against? What is this bad against? And I'm taking a new look at Modern in the sense of, I know I'm going to be playing Modern, so how am I going to play it, and what matchups am I going to give up, or what matchups are good?
Should be interesting to see where you fall, because that new Niv-Mizzet is 6-3 red, 3 blue. I'm not saying it's not powerful. I'm saying that's a pretty restrictive mana cost.
I mean, guys, like, you know, you Sarkhan, and then next turn you make 3. Oh. Isn't it 3 mana that Sarkhan makes?
2 mana. Trust me, 2.
So yeah, you make double blue, and then you make you tap 4, and then you cast Niv-Mizzet.
At that point, you're playing Nicol Bolas because it's 4 and you can cast it off Sarkhan. So, yeah, you've got a lot of opportunities there. Guys, I'm about to be a little bit of... Are you okay with this?
Always.
Yeah, right.
Go for it.
Part of our mission here on Tryhards is to improve the community. Yes, that's what we want to do. We want everyone to be a fantastic representative of community. The last few weeks, I've had a chance to play some Arena here and there. I've been very busy, and I usually just spend my downtime, and I'm not trying to create the next best deck or do anything like that. I'm literally using it as a recreational outlet to get away from the other things I have to do during the day. That being said, this occurred to me after an interaction that I had with a particular player to keep a list that went through many permutations of names. None of them were complimentary. I settled on as complimentary a language as I could, both being an adult, trying to be an ambassador to the community, and to not have to edit this show. For behavior antithetical to the community, we're calling out Jonathan Unicorn, Guy Zero, and New Noob Newbie as their handles on Arena. If you are these players, if you know these players, grab them by the scruff of their neck and tell them to be better human beings, because they are the part of the community that we all wish would either grow up or go away. Do something to get better at being a better part of your community. Brian, what'd you do to get better at Magic this week?
Wow, it's hard to follow that one. I hope they take that to heart a little bit. I have to say thank you, Sean, and thank you, Hurley, for kind of giving the opportunity to step out and brew a little bit. I've gotten lazy over the years of kind of trusting. There's so much information out there, and with limited time on my platter to put a deck together for the few tournaments I get to attend, I feel like I just kind of go with the flow of, oh, well, this deck looks good. It's a little fringy. That's kind of what I want. Maybe people won't expect it. And then I put up very mediocre results, etc. This was kind of a good chance for Hurley's SCG invite to kind of sit down and be like, okay, what would I brew? As Sean said, completely on the money, I was brewing a deck for basically myself. But at the same time, it caused me to start brewing. And I love the ideas that kind of flowed out of this from Sean, from Hurley, from me, into what are some different ways that we can attack the metagame. And I think that's always a good thing to keep in mind. The pros don't always have it figured out. The internet doesn't always have it figured out. Your local gaming community doesn't always have it figured out. Trust in yourself sometimes. I think there's always good ideas to be had wherever you go.
Oh, you brave soul. Thanks for, let's be honest, wading through this episode of Try Hard. We'll see you then for the next episode of Try Hard.